So when big business is calling for a simplification of the industrial relations reform, what does that simplification actually mean?
Well, it sounds very nice saying that we want to simplify things because they're all too complex. But what it really normally means is reducing the number of protections that employees have in relation to minimum wages or conditions or hours of work and so on. So you'll hear lots of complaints about the complexity of awards. Well, that's because there's lots of protections in there for lots of different types of employees. So the more you cut down the so-called complexity of it, the fewer protections are. So it might mean things like reducing separate minimum wages for each type of occupation to one single national minimum wage, or it might mean getting rid of penalty rates for working nights or weekends or overtime pay or shift allowances, or who knows, really. The term simplify is often used to cover a multitude of sins.
So is it in actual need of reform in your view? Is there still some areas that do need to be changed?
Well, it's certainly the case that the system is complex, and in some ways Australia has one of the most complex systems in the world, but that's really because of all the hoops that people have to jump through in the bargaining process. So the number of pages that we've got in our legislation setting out what people have to do in order to negotiate agreement, to take industrial action if they want to, in the process negotiating an agreement, it's really long compared to most other countries. In most places, I basically say, well, an agreement's in place, you don't strike. After it runs out, then you can take industrial action to negotiate a new agreement. But here there's dozens and dozens of pages and provisions. And like in some countries, they'll say, you got to have a secret ballot. Well, there's a good reason for that. But the processes we set out here in the legislation mean that you have to make an application to the Fair Work Commission. A copy has to be lodged with the employer within a certain amount of time. A hearing has to be held. The employer can make objections. They can say that you weren't bargaining good faith on all sorts of reasons. And the whole thing can really drag out over a long period of time. So that's really, that reduces the bargaining power of workers, and that really is the biggest complexity, the biggest problem in the system, that the complexity on that side of things is really designed to disadvantage workers.
So there may be benefits in simplification, but probably not the simplification that's being called for.
Yes, that's right. And I noticed that the Treasury yesterday talked about productivity gains through industrial relations reform. Well, I don't think the sorts of reforms that they've got in mind are really the sorts of things that would do anything to boost productivity at all. There's no evidence that you increase productivity by shifting the balance of power towards employers or towards workers, for that matter. That's not how you affect productivity, but that's a lot of the rhetoric that will be used. They'll be talking about, we're going to boost productivity and competitiveness and help boost along economic growth and kickstart the economy and so on. But that's not really what it's all about.
Well, that actually is quite interesting. You know, as you say, on either side, we're talking about obviously kickstarting the economy at the moment. We are in this sort of period where we're trying to avoid outright kind of recession. What kind of measures, is there any kind of measures in this arena that could be taken to benefit the economy overall?
Well, probably the main things in this area of work and employment is to make more people eligible for the wage subsidies that are available through the JobSeeker program, or the JobKeeper program, sorry, that was announced during the depths of the crisis. So the exclusion of casuals who've been with the same employer for less than a year, the exclusion of temporary migrant workers, the exclusion of all university staff. There's a whole range of areas. And these people actually You know, if they've got an income, they spend it, they buy food and clothing and stuff, and that keeps the economy going. So when you exclude a whole lot of people from these, you know, so-called stimulus, then it's not really such a big stimulus at all.
So what do we might expect next on this one from, well, on government, from the government?
Well, for a while it was looking like there might be a really big change in thinking in the government. The fact that they involved the ACTU in discussions about the wage subsidy scheme and so on, the introduction of free childcare, the doubling of unemployment benefits, all these things seem to signal that, yeah, there's a major shift underway in the way the government's thinking. But the more recent indications they've given are really quite the opposite. They're suggesting that that was just a temporary lull and it's going to be much more business as usual and looking to find ways of cutting tax for high-income earners or large companies or, you know, finding ways to cut paying conditions or hamper unions. These are sort of like a very long-standing agenda that it looks like we're going to be seeing again.
Well, David, do appreciate you unpacking this one for us a little bit this morning.
My pleasure.